I'm going to begin by singing, but I wanted to warn you because I know that that's not usually socially appropriate. And just like bust into song. And when I was going through this with Joy at home, she was like, I'm feeling so uncomfortable inside, just jumping right in with the song. So I'm telling you, it's coming. I'm about to sing.
Oh, that's Black Church.
That's right. in more ways than you know, for real. It's coming. Mambo sawa sawa. Mambo sawa sawa. Yesu kiwa enzini. Mambo sawa sawa. 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 Yesu kiwa enzini. Mambo sawa sawa. Mambo sawa sawa. Mambo sawa sawa. You probably don't know that song because it's in Swahili. I learned that in a place called Kibera. Kibera is about the size of the Edgewood neighborhood, geographically speaking. It's the same amount of land. Population density-wise, though, Kibera is about 33 times larger. There are 30,000 or so people living here in Edgewood. There are more than 1 million living in Kibera. Can you imagine our neighborhood with 1 million people living in it? Can you imagine what would happen to our crime rate with 1 million people living in it? Kibera is a slum. It's located inside Kenya's capital city of Nairobi. And Kenya is one of the most well-developed nations on the whole continent of Africa. My first impression of this place wasn't good. It was crowded, dirty, it stunk, it was full of poverty, joblessness, crime, and a lack of hope. That's what I saw. And as a Christian, I couldn't help but ask, where is God in this hell on earth? How can anything resembling kingdom of God be happening here? Depending upon your vantage point, you may be inclined to think that the kingdom of God seems pretty well hidden. God's ways, God's dreams for this world are all but completely buried. Buried under politics, corruption, buried under disease, disappointment, covered up by your own personal baggage, concealed from your sight by grief, personal tragedy, anxiety. What is it? It can be hard to see and hear what God is up to in this world, much less participate with God in what God's up to when we are drawn to and distracted by and obsessed with all the stuff that stinks, all the Kiberas. In Matthew 13, Jesus has had a full day of teaching. All the usual suspects are present at first. The Pharisees and teachers of the law, these are the ones with the piety and education. And then there's the quote-unquote crowd. These are the curious, the sometimes desperate, the open, and those just looking to see what they can get. And then lastly, the disciples. These are the few who seem to have permanently walked away from their jobs, their family, their hometowns, because they've bought into this kingdom of God stuff Jesus keeps talking about. According to Matthew, on this day, Jesus was teaching in parables. It happened down on the beach right by the lake. The crowd started crowding him. So he got in a boat, pushed offshore, and started teaching there. There were nice acoustics. His voice could bounce off the water. He began with the sower and the seed, which includes four possible reactions to Jesus' teaching. When he's done, the disciples asked, why are you using parables? To which Jesus responds, we have a repeat happening here. A repeat of what Isaiah saw. These people have eyes but can't see, ears but can't seem to hear. In other words, kingdom of God is right in their face, occurring in their midst, and they're missing it. How's that possible? How could it be so close and yet be hidden? Well, the kingdom of heaven is like a buried treasure in a field. When Joe Schmo stubbed his toe on it, he reburied it, sold all he had, and bought it. Or another way, the kingdom of heaven is like a high-end jeweler in search of fine diamonds. When he found the diamond, he sold everything he had and bought it. How could it be so close and yet be hidden? Is it hidden from specific people? Hidden on purpose? Because according to these parables and the rest of the Gospels and our personal experiences here, anybody is eligible to find the kingdom of God. That is, anybody is able to see, hear, be a part of what God is doing. Anyone from Joe Schmo to Mr. Whoop-de-doo. Furthermore, how hidden is it? Because according to these parables and the rest of the Gospels and our own firsthand experiences, you can stub your toe on the kingdom of God. Like that first guy in the middle of nowhere, probably wandering where he shouldn't be. To that second guy who was diligently looking in all the right places. Sometimes we find the kingdom of God happening in the likeliest places, like a healthy church community, joining God in pursuing God's dreams for this world, a place like Edgewood. Sometimes we find kingdom of God in the unlikeliest places, like Kibera. Are you tracking with me? Are you sure? Take your piece of paper and your pen. We're going to have a Sunday school moment here. Got your piece of paper and your pen? All right. First thing I want you to do is write down where you go in a typical week. You specifically, where are you going in a typical week? When you have done that, look at me so I know that you are done. Where are you going during a typical week? Here's some stuff I wrote. Work. Home. Work. Home. Work. Home. Grocery store. Bathroom. Work. Home. School. Church. Anybody got anything to add? Home Depot. Home Depot. The feed lot for your goats. Stone Mountain. Anybody? Dancing lessons? Good for you. Oh, to be a fly on the wall, Sharon. Where else? Kids sports stuff. Okay. Restaurant. Visiting. Anybody have anything else to add? Sherwin-Williams, the paint store. All right. Now I want you to write down some tasks you do during a typical week. Just tasks. Tasks you do during a typical week. Got a decent list happening? All right. What kinds of things are on your list? Work again. Okay. Recycling. What else? Laundry, cooking, dishes. Huh? What is it? Listening. Change diapers, driving, in traffic, praying, eating, scroll Facebook, scroll Reddit, scroll a website I shouldn't be on called I Waste So Much Time. Man, that should be convicting right away. It isn't. What else? Other tasks. Planning, phone calling, emailing. Protect your children. Okay? Anybody have anything else to add? Good. Thank you, Carol, for showering. Tap dance. Okay, now write down your significant relationships, interactions. Significant relationships and interactions. There's an opportunity for Kingdom of God. Medicare sales, supplement salespersons. It's that time of year, apparently. Okay? Other significant relationships or interactions. Smiling. Spouse, family, coworkers, students, clients. For you, it's pastors. Is that what you said? Chaplains, employees. Yeah, every day, right? Okay, good. So the actual world. Children. Parents. Neighbors. With yourself. Church members. All right, last one. Write down your biggest concerns, fears, worries. Big or small. Concerns, fears, worries. All right. Tell me about it. I think everybody could say that. Joblessness, health, housing, finances, homelessness. Kids' well-being. Your own health and sanity. Future, family problems. Violence versus nonviolence. Politics. Yeah. Yeah, worried you're not doing it right, whatever it is. Okay, now look at your paper. All the things that are written down there. Kingdom of God is happening there. Kingdom of God stuff is happening at work, at home, at the grocery store, at school, at church. It's happening in tasks like driving and dishes and laundry and cooking and eating. It's happening in significant relationships and interactions like with our spouse, our children, our parents, our friends, our coworkers, our employees. It's happening in the midst of our greatest fears and concerns, in sickness, in our finances, in our future, in our broken relationships, in our broken world. The kingdom of God is happening there. And in all the spaces in between. After Jesus has been speaking in parables for a while, Matthew interjects a reason why. And he uses Psalm 78 to do it. But he only uses a part of Psalm 78, which I think is interesting. This is the part he uses. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. You want to know what it is in context, though? Let me read the verse before and the two verses after. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. Same sentence, things we have heard and known. Things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. And then if you read the rest of Psalm 78, you know what's happening there? It's a brief but thorough account of the whole history of the people of Israel. From Jacob all the way to David, tracing the involvement of God during that whole storyline. That's what's happening in Psalm 78. It wasn't hidden. It was in plain sight. It's one long look back on their story, tracing the hand of God, the involvement of God. Kingdom activity wasn't hidden. it was in plain sight the whole time. I can do this with my own story too, can't you? I can look back. I can look back and see what God was doing. 13 years ago, it's 2005. 13 years ago, I'm starting seminary at Truett in Waco, Texas. You know who was teaching at Baylor at that time? Sharon Dowd. You know who was pastoring a church called Calvary Baptist Church? Julie Pennington Russell. I went there because I was curious about this Baptist person who happened to be a woman pastoring a church. And my mind was just like, no room for any of that. I got to go see what they're doing. So I went out of curiosity. And you know who I met? Julie. And then you know who I met? Sharon. That was 13 years ago. Now, what you don't know is that in my life, that's the darkest season. When I look back on my story, that is the hardest time in my life. From 2005 to 2009. When did you meet Julie? <laughs> 2006. Right in the middle of my darkness, God was already making a plan. Right in the middle of that, God was weaving together this plan that I'm involved in right now with y'all. He was there being faithful, doing the kingdom of God stuff that God does. Whether I could see it and acknowledge it or not, it was happening. The faithfulness, the mercy, the kindness, the goodness, God was working those things in my life at that time, whether I could see it or not. That is God. When I look back on that season now, it is a dark time, but it's transformed somehow, knowing that God was moving, knowing that God was involved. It redeems the times when I cried by myself. But look, now I'm crying tears of joy with you guys and for the internet later. Hindsight seeing is fun, isn't it? When we can look back on our life and go, yeah, God was working there. Kingdom of God stuff was happening there. What about the present moment? What is God up to right now? Where is kingdom of God stuff happening? Where's the justice and the mercy and the faithfulness and the goodness? I love you, man. Thank you. Let's pray. You're precious. Where's that stuff happening? Everywhere you wrote down. That's where it's happening. It's happening everywhere you wrote down. Kingdom of God is happening in my daily mundane activities, just like it's happening in yours and all the spaces in between. God is coming to life in us and in our living. Kingdom of God is happening, whether I acknowledge it or not. When I'm at work and say for the 100th time, hi, thanks for choosing Starbucks. This is Marquette. What can we get started for you today? You can bet God's there. You can bet God has an idea about goodness and justice and hope. Being in that place, even if it is through the conduit of expensive caffeine. God is happening whether you're a part of it. The kingdom of God is happening whether you're a part of it or not. I stubbed my toe on it in Kibera. That song in English goes like this. Things already better. Things already better. When the Lord is on his throne, things already better, things already better, things already better. Isn't that interesting? In Kibera, those little kids living in a slum, singing things already better, things already better. When the Lord is on his throne, things are already better. There is a God, and God is on God's throne. when we believe that, the world changes right in front of our eyes. All of a sudden, the things that bury and cover God's activity shine in a new light. All of a sudden, we can realize the immeasurable value of participating with God in the simplest of things. Here and now, in the present moment. When I look at those parables, I see that there is a response to the discovery of kingdom of God. And the response of those guys was what? They sold everything to go buy it. Which sounds crazy. How does that translate to our lives? What does that end up meaning? I'm going to start with what it doesn't mean first. I remember reading a long time ago about, it was either Venus or Serena Williams, one of the girls who plays tennis, the sisters who play tennis. They spent $8,000 on an Evian bath. You know Evian, the bottled water, the spring water? They spent $8,000 to fill a bathtub full of that stuff so they could bathe in it. One moment in time, $8,000. And when you hear that, don't you think, that's insane. What a waste. Right? What? Yeah. We're like, $8,000. Think of all the things we could do with $8,000. What a waste. To waste a fortune on one moment in time, something so fleeting and so temporary. And you're right, that is crazy. But is it any more insane to waste a life one moment at a time? For small things that are fleeting and temporary? Yikes. It's easy for us to identify a fortune being wasted in one moment in time, being blown on a single thing in one moment in time, to roll our eyes, to shake our heads at that kind of stupidity, condemning them in their lack of good judgment. But is that any worse than wasting a life? Kingdom of God happens moment by moment in your day. You can wake up and go, oh my gosh, where did the time go? What did I spend it all on? What was engaging me all of that time? Am I wasting it? When you discover what kingdom of God is, and I, you know, we've been hunting and pecking at it for the last like 6 weeks, and I called friends from seminary and I was like, how would you define kingdom of God? And they're like, oh geez, well, I would define it like a flower coming up through a crack in the sidewalk. I would define it as, I mean, like, it was just all over the place. We have our whole lives to discover kingdom of God, but it happens moment to moment in each of the things that you wrote down on your paper. It's a different way of engaging this world. That's what I have. I don't have like one big final statement to wrap it all up. That's it.